Fantastic.
Yeah, dear friends, we're so glad to be here with you again. For every time we have this opportunity to see you, it's a big joy. It's like coming to a family. Now for us, you're a family. and just as you see on the screen, our mission and our ministries, we call it Friends in Mission. And really, this is what we want to do. We want to be in God's mission and want to be together with you in it. because I think together we would be more productive and we can do more for God's kingdom. So I'm glad also that my wife Angela is here with me, and she also is a wonderful speaker. She can fill all the gaps that I will leave. You can ask her questions too. As you know, now we have two main areas of ministry. One is I probably would call it gospel ministry, where we are trying to make disciples of Jesus Christ by sharing the gospel in our personal life. We do a lot of personal relational evangelism. But also, we're not only doing it ourselves, but we want to raise as many believers to do the same, because we believe it's the most productive way to make disciples in your personal life. And we train other believers also. We do it online. I train people and churches in Ukraine, in Poland now, and in the United States. These are churches, American churches, but it also Korean church, like I'm training right now, and one Chinese church. So it's interesting. But I wanted to grow internationally, because I think it's a very important for us to take Christ's Great Commission seriously, and I believe it applies to all of us, all of believers, not just to some missionaries, not just to some pastors, but we all should make disciples, and we can do it, and there is help available for this. Now, the second area of our ministry now is related more to the war that is going on in Ukraine right now. Actually, yesterday, it has been 500 days of this terrible war. Can you imagine 500 days of destruction, blood, death, suffering, losses? Just every day we wake up, we watch the news, and every day there are more bombings, more destruction. And I will show you some slides today. But it means we also can't just watch it. We want to help suffering people. And I'll show you more in the slides today, too. So we want to proclaim the gospel, but also help these practical needs of the suffering people. And this is probably the most horrible war since the World War II. And as I said, we do personal relational evangelism. And this is the couple. Their names are Andrei and Nastya. We met them about a year ago, just randomly. We were walking in the streets of our city, and we met them. We recognized them as a Ukrainian couple with a child, and we just came to them, and we talked. We then exchanged our phones, and we would start to do our friendship evangelism with them. And they started to come to our small group, and we would visit their home. They would visit our home. And then they accepted Christ, and just a few months ago they were baptized. We baptized them in the ocean.
This is in Florida?
Yeah. So they come to our small group. They're so eager to hear the Word of God, learn the Word of God. And now their parents come. Their parents from Ukraine came as refugees. And they're not believers yet, but they listen and ask questions. They participate. Hopefully they'll come to Christ too. We pray for them.
Now they invite us to their meetings with their non-Christian friends, so they can share the gospel with them.
That's
so nice. That one couple and now got some more.
A couple of weeks ago, I went to Poland to minister to Ukrainian refugees there. I went with a group from believers from Charlotte. This is actually a Chinese church, and they have English service. And my friend, he's a pastor there, so he invited me to come with them. Actually, he asked me where to go, so I recommended him this church in a city called Gdynia. It's in the north of Poland on the Baltic Sea. It's right next to Gdansk. And so we helped them to pay for this camp, and also we were serving in the camp. This is the room where they would gather together at the beginning of the day and the end, at the end of the day. So the camp was like from 12 in the midday to till 6 p.m. And then we would stay later afterwards to analyze how they went and plan for next day. So it was a long day until like we would go home around 9 or 10 p.m. But this is the kids, Ukrainian children, refugees from Ukraine, most of them. This is how they look. And of course, these are the children. They went through many horrors of the war. They saw a lot of destruction, losses and pain. And, you know, they went through trauma as well as their parents. So we would try to make, for them it's fun, but also healing for their soul. And I would be ministering to the moms of these kids and their grandparents. Every day I would sit with them for 4 by 3 hours, and I would listen to their stories, to their pain, and then I would share the gospel with them. I would share some Bible stories with them. I would try to plan every day what I want to say, but almost every day I would change it because our conversation would go different direction. And the good thing, you know, again, I received some training in evangelism, and this is like a tools that you have under your disposal. And every time the conversation goes the specific direction, you pull out this tool. And by tool, I mean it could be a Bible story, it could be a personal a testimony, it could be gospel presentation, it could be anything else, you know, could be apologetic question. But when you have some experience, because at first when they came, like 20 moms were sitting, and I was like, even I have some experience, but for me, like, wow, what am I going to do with this women? No. But then, of course, I realized, first of all, just listen to them. This is the first good step to start, you know, just listen to the people, you know, and then God will tell you where to go next. But and one day, this mom that sits next to me in the picture, in the black t-shirt, she told me, she said, well, my daughter, she's about probably 9 or 10 years old. She said, my daughter told me yesterday that this camp is changed. She said, this camp is changing me. And she said, what do you mean? How it's changing you? And she said, my soul feels better now. And it was like, wow, it's great that it means that our goal was reaching, because we want these kids to feel better after this horrors of this war, and their moms too.
And plus, this is the church that has been, for the whole year, he mentored the leaders there to teach them through the...
Yeah, I would train them in personal relationships.
You know, for a whole year he was with them, and then they came to the camp, the camp, and they put all the puzzle together. So they
could see also me in action, how I do personal relational evangelism. For them, it was like continuation of this training. So hopefully they could learn more. Now this is more kids, because there was another camp about 2 hours from this city. There was a city called Lubava. This is another small church, another pastor who also I trained, and we helped them to have this camp too. So this is a picture from that camp. Now, this is what's going on in Poland, and of course, it looks in the pictures, it looks like fun, but generally speaking, the life for Ukrainian refugees in Poland or any other country where they went, it's not that easy. It's very hard, because it's a new language, new culture, sometimes no jobs available, on how to survive. Or if they give you a job, oftentimes they pay you like 2 or 3 times less in the beginning, because you're you're not qualified worker, you don't know the language. So like they tell me if at first, like for 6 months, you have to work on a very low wage, and then after 6 months, if you're okay, they will raise your wage. But anyway, it's very hard to survive, and psychologically, because of this war, bad news from Ukraine every day. And they are separated from their husbands, and no, it's very hard. Now I would like to show you the life of children or people in general in Ukraine. Now we're switching to Ukraine. Now, almost every day, they have sirens going on about new bombs or rockets are flying to Ukraine. And every time, they don't know where these rockets will end up. They're trying our anti-missile weapons. They're trying to shoot them down. But first of all, their success rate is about 70%. So it means 30% of rockets still reach the target. And even those that they shoot down, the pieces of those rockets still fall on the ground, and they still produce damage. They still kill people. And it also means that Ukrainian people, they feel like they're a target every day. They don't know where these bombs will end up, or what city. It could be any city in Ukraine. So they have to hide in the basements or in special bunkers. But this is where how they could spend the night or day with. So it's still hard for them. And now this is a lot of them said to say goodbye to their fathers and leave the country. So this is also a hard trauma. They feel lonely. Now, this is another tragedy that is going on in Ukraine. You see the Ukrainian children now, they're in Russia. And you see in the back, you see Russian police standing there. And what happened is happening during this war. It's actually a big war crime going on. They stole many, many Ukrainian children, and they moved them to Russia. Just officially, what the Russian people say, they said that they moved like around 700,000 Ukrainian children. Some of them orphans, but not all of them. A lot of them still have parents, and they separated them from parents. And this is how sometimes it worked. On the Russian occupied territories, they would tell parents, let's take your children to children's camp. We'll take them like for 1 week or 2 weeks to children's camp. And parents usually, they have nothing to do. Let's them go to children's camp. And what they would do, they would take them and they would move them to Russia. And they never come bring them back. So parents don't know where they are, what happened to them. And that's why there is a international piece of like a government body or judge where they proclaim or judge people for war crimes. They also proclaim that President Putin, he's a criminal. He did war crimes by stealing children from Ukraine. And now in most of the countries of the world who signed that law, he should be arrested, actually, specifically for stealing Ukrainian children. And this is a picture of the girl. See, this is the parents put information on the backs or somewhere on the body of the children. They would put like their phone numbers, the mom's phone numbers, their names and stuff. And so if the child will be found someday, they would know who to call and who to bring this child. Now, can you imagine being a parent and being so afraid for your children? You have to put information on your child. This is a school that not far from where we live with Angela. The Russians destroyed the school, and this is kids standing in front of this destroyed school. Now, of course, they can't go to the school. Now, this is also children of Ukrainian children. They're in Ukraine, in Ukrainian children's camp. But this is the exercises they do. They train them. This is the games they play, or they train them, because the children, they also feel like they're in a war and they have to protect themselves. And that's why they play these military games and train themselves, or adults train them, so they would, I don't know exactly, maybe it's a, by doing this they try to help them psychologically, that they can do something to protect themselves, I don't know. Or they, like there's another picture during this camp, they train them as a soldiers. Like this guy who's screaming, shouting, he's probably a surgeon, and they're playing a role of surgeon or something. But I think this is also a very sad thing, because instead of these children, they should be playing regular sport games or studying or having some fun. Now they have to go through this, you know, war. And now there are a lot of children asking parents, you know, why these Russians hate us so much? Why they want to kill us? And what can you tell them? Like this guy, this boy, he doesn't want to go to camp. He wants to be with his mom. But mom said, no, you have to go to camp. And so it's kind of sad that they have to go through this. A lot of destruction, and it's very hard for these people to see all this, their lives being destroyed. These big apartment buildings, they're being destroyed, cars. This is, as I said, almost every day we open the news and we see these pictures.
The town that we live with, Constantine, before and the start of the church, 75% of the buildings were damaged.
Destroyed, yeah. Like this woman, she's watching at this one of these apartment buildings that are destroyed, and she's with tears watching with a hope that her family survived there. So this is... but this older man, he wasn't that, I don't say lucky or what, but he was, because under this foil, the remains of his daughter and his granddaughter, and he is sitting there just being devastated. This was a car by volunteers were bringing food to some villages that needed food, and they... The car was hit by the rocket and was destroyed. And you see, just they died, but the bread was laying on the ground. Now, this was a soldier, was a prisoner of war in Russia, and then he was exchanged with a Russian prisoner of war. And when he came back to Ukraine, this is how he was hugging and kissing the Ukrainian land. He is now free. He is home. Yeah, you can imagine his joy. Now, this is also special for me. You probably heard in the news that the Russians exploded the dam. Yeah, it's a hydro electrical plant. They destroyed it, and now all this big water was flooding these cities and villages. The thing is, this dam and this area, this is where I grew up. This is I spent my childhood there. Almost every week I would drive with my father over this dam to go to the church where my father was a pastor. So to me, it's a very dear place and people. And many, especially elderly people, they died in these homes because they couldn't move, they couldn't escape the water. Some of the people were sitting on the roof and waiting, but the problem is there was no water. Some of them couldn't survive because they didn't have enough. No, they didn't get water on time, and it was very sad. This is a Kherson, the city where I grew up, and there was saving. I still have two uncles living in Kherson. I call them sometimes, and they said, from the sky, from the top, we have rockets and bombs, and from the ground we have water that is flooding us. So it's a very dire situation. Now, this is what is going on now. Before I tell you about our development of future plans, do you have any questions or comments about what you just have seen? And as I said, we're trying to... I didn't put here the slides of me training people in personal evangelism, because you already have seen it in my previous trailers and presentations.
Y'all are actually able to go to Ukraine? No, we can.
Okay, you're still, you go as far as Poland.
Yeah, the problem is we won't be able to leave Ukraine.
Still Ukrainian, so they won't.
Yeah, we have dual citizenship, and to them, we're Ukrainians, we can leave the country. But we send help, financial help, in I meet with people online, and we try to provide support online. To them, it's very also very important, and they're very thankful that we can keep in touch, keep relationship, and support them this way.
You know, like the church that we start, they did such a good job helping people to survive during the war, you know, during the occupation. But even now, more and more people come to church because they heard, they saw, they heard, and now they wanted to experience. And for us, it's a blessing because almost all our neighbors that live in our street area, they became a Christian. Mm-hmm. And every Sunday we see someone get baptized. This, you know. Mm-hmm. So for us, it's like even being far away, we still keep in touch with these people. And like one lady, we've been friends for a long time, but she would never come to our church. And one time I asked her, I said, Ira, why you don't want to come to your church? And she said, Angela, I'll tell you the truth. The priest that they go, she goes to the Orthodox church. The priest told us that this sect, they built their church, and before you come to the church, they put the icon of Mary,
Mother of Jesus,
on there. So every time you come and wipe your feet,
wipe feet of this icon.
I said, yeah, you know me for a long time. Why you believe this guy? Why you never ask me this question? She said, I was so afraid to ask you because I know you will not do something like this. So we had the conversation for like 15 years. We lived there. Our kids grew up together. And when the war started, her son was
who
was wounded. And of course, I call her and ask her some question. And of course, she asks, where's the God? Where's the God? You know, all this question. So during this whole year, we had a conversation through the Facebook, because she's on the Facebook. And you can talk, you can see each other on Facebook. It's like, you don't have to go these days somewhere. You can be from one place, you can be in a different place.
Yeah, you can help financially.
So yeah, and God's been doing such an amazing thing that change people's life, like before she wouldn't believe God, and now she said, I'm so thankful for your church, I'm so thankful for that, I met you, so thankful for everything that God sent, even through the hard times. So it's amazing how we see the results right now. It's been planned a long time ago, but now and we still can keep in touch with these people.
One question that sometimes people ask me, or maybe people think in their minds, why Ukrainian people suffer so much? Maybe they deserve it. Maybe they're more evil than other nations, or maybe more sinful than other people. And I'm Ukrainian, but I would say no. The Ukrainians are not more evil. No, they're not more sinful than other nations. That's... in fact, I would argue the opposite. I think, as far as I know, Ukraine has the largest percentage of evangelical Christians in that part of the world. Wow. Ukraine has been training missionaries and sending missionaries to other parts, like Russia, including Russia. And actually, Ukraine has been a light to that part of the world from Christian perspective. That's why maybe Satan is attacking Ukraine and he wants to suppress this light. But it works the opposite. Now we have, I think, more Christians than before. We have many people who left Ukraine, but now those who remain in Ukraine, a lot of them came to Christ now. So I would say, we have corruption. Like, what country doesn't have corruption? And but at the same time, Ukrainian people, they don't tolerate corrupt government. Like, Ukraine had at least two revolutions in the past. Just recently, they were uprising against corrupt government, and they were removing corrupt leaders and electing new ones. So I would say this is just the opposite. Ukrainian people are not more evil than other nations. It just happened now it's Ukrainian turn. I don't know why. Now it's Ukraine is suffering for the, I don't know what country will be next, but we know that this has been going on for centuries.
And another thing I want to say that the church that was started for the year before the war started, they prayed every month for one country, that God will send the missionary there, that God will make the revival in this country.
The revival.
Revival in this country. And through this war, right now people are scattered everywhere, like only Europe, and they said, we asked God for revival, but we didn't know that we could be one who's going to be there and do this. So, and yeah. It's true, because people, they move there, and
yeah,
they...
Many Christians, Ukrainian Christians now scattered in European countries.
And they start
countries.
The small groups, and they start to evangelize the other people, you know, because there are so many people who are... They when you are in a need, you always want to find somebody who can help you. I mean, when you hear, oh, there's some Russian or Ukrainian group, they go there because they know there will be some kind of help, emotional, spiritual, and physical too. So this, God sent people evangelizing the other Ukrainians in a different country.
So, and now let us tell you about our development, where God is taking us next. This is what we believe. We want to do the same thing, but just take it to another level. This training that we're doing now for personal relational evangelism, we wanted to make it to the level of, and make it like a school. A school for churches, school for Bible schools, for Christian schools, for groups and individuals. So we want to present it as a school and maybe improve it in some ways. And we're willing to dedicate more time and travel from church to church, from place to place, where people will be open to train them, and also do it more online. But to just to take it to a higher, more effective, more to multiply this ministry. It means more work for me, especially. I have to prepare maybe more materials and video materials and do it on a. And do more networking with people. Maybe like church can recommend us to another church, and we can come and do this work. So we just want to multiply this, because we believe this is very important. This is what Jesus gave us, this main command to make disciples. And if we believe we live in the last days, Jesus is coming soon, this is what Jesus would want us to do. Let's save more people for eternity, right? This is the most important work. And another thing that we want to do, we want to raise some more funds for children and widows in Ukraine. Where we live now in Florida, I don't know if you've been to Florida, especially to South Florida, we have a lot of rich people there. We're not friends of rich people yet, but we know some people who may know rich people. So just pray for us, so we would be able to approach these people and... maybe so God would open their hearts to donate, hopefully, large sums to help Ukraine, you know, children, widows and orphans, especially orphans. Just recently, a couple of weeks ago, we were in touch with one organization that's actually, they're based in Romania, but they're helping a lot of Ukrainian orphans. They have centers for orphans. As you can imagine, now we have a lot of orphans. Many children lost their, especially fathers, and sometimes both fathers and mothers. And we have a lot of widows. And this organization, they're working, helping Ukrainian orphans. And now they're going to be members of our church in Ukraine. They're working in this organization. And they're going to have like a family center for these children right across the street from our church. They will start with 10 children first, and then they'll grow. They want to open more centers like this. So we want to help them to raise more funds for this kind of work, to help children and widows of Ukraine. So they could have place to stay, food, clothes, and education. So this is where we believe God wants us to, what to grow in our ministry, to do next, what to do next. Now, what else we would like you to pray for? We feel like we fulfilled our mission in Florida. Our goal was to start church there, and now we have a church there, a pastor to younger pastor. We've done evangelism, what we could do for there, and we are ready to move. And the reason why we're thinking about move, one reason is the life in Florida, especially South Florida, is very expensive. So for us, we pay high HOA fees, other fees that is especially like insurance, just assessments and different, just too much. And we want to move to area where it's cheaper to live for us, especially as missionaries.
Like Virginia.
Maybe Virginia, yeah. And second, we want to move closer to our children. As you know, two of our children live in Charlotte now, North Carolina. Zhenya, of course, in Hawaii. Zhenya, you know. By the way, Zhenya sends greetings to all of you. Zhenya invites us to visit him. He didn't invite us to move to Hawaii. You know, Hawaii is even more expensive than Florida,
yeah,
so
true.
We don't want to live there. But we're not sure yet when and where to move, but we're just thinking about it and praying, because we want to be more efficient with our money, and more training work is more in this area than in Florida for us. For us, it's better for travel to reach to these churches here in the main. I could say this is the mainland of America. This Florida is more like appendicitis. and it's to travel for us just to drive through Florida from South Florida to. It takes like 5 hours just to drive through. Florida. So if we would live in an area like here or North Carolina, South Carolina, this is probably easier for us to travel and to reach these churches here. So again, please, any questions or comments?
I'm just curious to know more maybe about the school, personal relationship evangelism. What is it that you're teaching? Are you teaching people how to have a personal relationship with Jesus, or are you teaching them how to evangelize?
Well, probably should say personal relational evangelism, right? It's not personal relation. It's personal relational. I think I misspoke.
Okay.
But it's a good question. We want to teach people how to make disciples of Jesus Christ, how to bring people to Christ through being their friend, by developing a relationship with them. Of course, actually, it's a good question, because in our program, we teach people to develop missional relationships in different areas. First of all, you have missional relationship with God Himself. View God not just a God who can give you something, but also you join God's mission to bless others. You want to give, not just to receive from the Lord. So it's a different view of God, different relationship with God. So develop missional relationship with God. Second, develop missional relationship with other believers. That's, remember, when Jesus was sending his disciples on the mission field, he was sending them by two, not alone, right? So it's great to have another believer, Christian person in your life who you would encourage each other, who you would be accountable to, who you would be training with in personal relational evangelism. Because it's a hard and in some ways dangerous ministry. That's why you need help. You need a friend or friends, many friends. And third, develop missional relationship with the non-believers. Because sometimes we get satisfied with a just shallow relationship, if we spend a few seconds, a few minutes, we say, I've done my evangelism. But this is a very, you don't have much time to impact somebody's life. But if you become a friend to somebody, develop relationships, then you have much deeper way to present the gospel, answer the questions, show God's love in practical way. And when we look at Jesus, this is what he did. We often look at Jesus' life and we see and we hear about him preaching on the streets or in the temple, speaking to crowd. But actually, Jesus' main project was not this. His main project was his 12 disciples. Remember when in John 17, he was praying his priestly prayer, and he was saying in the beginning of this chapter, he said, "Father, I thank you that I was able to fulfill your assignment." And in this, the rest of the chapter, he was talking about his 12 disciples, because he prepared them for ministry. And when Jesus started his public ministry, first thing he did, he invited these 12 people into his life. And at that time, they were not believers yet. He invited them so they would become his followers, and they would listen to him and be with him day and night. They would listen to his teaching. They would observe what he was doing. And then when Jesus told them, go and make disciples, they didn't ask him how to do it. Why? Because they already knew how. They learned it from Jesus. So it was, Jesus showed us a model of personal relational evangelism. I think, you know, all this other evangelism, they're great. There is place for them. But I think the most essential, the most basic one that we should all practice and do is personal relational evangelism. And by the way, this is everybody can do. You don't have to be gifted speaker, no evangelist, preaching in the stadiums like Billy Graham. You don't have to finish seminary. Anybody can be a friend to somebody, right? So, and this is what we have been practicing with Angela for, I don't know, now it's maybe 25, 30 years or more. And it works, because by doing this, we started church in Ukraine, and we started church in Florida, and we did some work in Charlotte also. So it works, and we just want all other people enjoy, you know, experience this joy in life. This sprint gives you a lot of joy. But thank you for a good question. I need to fix this mistake here.
Is your emphasis going to still be primarily Ukrainian or Russian people? Because I understand there's a lot of those in Florida. Or are you just basically branching out to anybody that you can share your curriculum with?
Yeah, as far as personal relational evangelism for us personally, we probably will be still focusing on Ukrainian and Russian people, because these are people of our culture, this is the language that we know. But we open to share the gospel also with English-speaking people. But as far as school, personal relational evangelism school, will be open to any churches, any languages, any cultures. Because when I come, for instance, if I come to teach at a German church or, I don't know, a Chinese church, whatever, they can interpret me. I can speak to through the interpreter. They can translate my materials too. So it's now with the modern technology, you can language is not a problem actually, because now you have these on the phones, you have these programs. When we were in Poland, for instance, you just point your phone on a text and it translates you right away.
Yeah, so you always translate. Perfect.
Yeah. Well, they improve it every year. It's better and better. Yeah, it's not bad. It translates menu in the restaurant very well. But yeah.
Are there places that you've talked about, like North Carolina or wherever, where there are Ukrainians now? Because I know there's been a lot of refugees that have come here. Are they in certain regions, or do you know of certain areas where there's higher refugee numbers?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe
California, number one probably, because
so many people have relatives already here, so the relatives.
That's Sacramento, California, for instance.
And there's a
Washington, this state.
Yeah, Washington state, like a
Spokane
area.
Spokane has a lot of.
Yeah, because we have some Ukrainians who moved there, and now they bring their friends. Charlotte actually became a very
Charlotte,
big one
right
now too, because we try to be in a group, like in a Facebook. There is a Ukrainian community, so we try to be in this group so we can see what kind of problem people need to solve, or you know, so we can help. They everywhere now.
But the thing is, with the refugees, it's like what we learn in Poland, for instance. It's not stable. For instance, no, they come, but then there's refugees. They usually want to move somewhere else. Like when they come initially, like to South Florida, some of them, it's expensive place to live. So usually they move to another state. Mm-hmm. It's their initial place, and then they go somewhere else. From Poland, usually they want to go either to Germany or to Canada, to United States, or back to Ukraine.
Yeah, people move and they
so
move back to Ukraine.
So it's very unstable situation. Yeah.
Refugees. It's like you have a person right now, you can get relationship with, you know, with this person, share the gospel, because tomorrow you never know what happened.
We shouldn't go far. For instance, Angela's parents, they came to us as refugees and stayed with us in South Florida for 3 months, and they said, no, we want to go home. So they went back to Ukraine. Maybe it's because of me, I don't know. But you know, this relationship with in-laws, you know. No, we have a good relationship. I'm just joking, but they were missing Ukraine. Actually, in Ukraine, they have more interest in life.
Sure.
They do a lot of ministry. They have their own home, and it's. They just feel more comfortable.
Are they in a safe area? Is there?
There's no safe area.
Relatively safe.
There's no safe area. And they said, you know, we live our life, so if something happens, it happens. We just want to be there. Mm-hmm. It was too hard for them in Florida.
Too hot, yeah.
Too hot and too hard. Even, you know, we had a. They came in the Thanksgiving time, so we had. We always invite non-believers for big gathering too, because this is a great opportunity to share the gospel. So they were like, "Whoa, so many people here!" But you know, they still want to go back.
So let's see, what time is it? Who knows?
17.
Yeah.
We want to pray for you.
Yeah, thank you
yes,
so much for
a few minutes for that. Unless you have any final questions.
Yeah.
That nuclear power plant is the largest in the world. I'm concerned about. They took all the Russian ships.
Yeah, there is a big nuclear plant, power plant in Ukraine. It's the largest in Europe. And it's now under Russians, their military, and there is a danger that they may blow it up too. I don't know. There is no limit what they can do.
It will be bigger than Chernobyl, probably.
Yeah. We don't know.
I have a question about your in Ukraine. In your videos, I don't see open air markets. I don't see public transportation. I don't see people shopping. Our government is sending Ukraine millions of dollars. Is that only going towards politicians? And you may not want to answer this question, but is the lower people getting bread? Are they getting clothes? Does it trickle down? Is any of that money getting there?
Yeah, thank you. It's a good question. We didn't put any slides or pictures of people shopping in Ukraine. Maybe next time. But of course, people shop. But you're right. Most of the money it goes to military and support the government. I believe some of it probably go to support people of Ukraine too, like pay their pensions and stuff like that. But a lot of people now in Ukraine become very, very poor. I think I heard the number that probably 50% of people now live below the poverty line. And you can imagine, like jobs, not many jobs available, and the prices went up. a lot, especially on food and on electricity. Just recently, they doubled it on electricity. So yeah, it's a big problem, big suffering too for people. That's why it's important for us to help to provide either money or to build a bakery so something people can bake a bread or provide just some basic foods on the table.
And for us, we know the people who are in need, so it's not like we'll give money to somebody else.
To organization.
When we help, we
send personally to somebody that we know personally. Like if we know family or individual.
Yeah, we have two families in LG that they lost their sons in the war, you know. And I asked them, do you receive any money from the government? And they said, no, there's lots of paperwork, lots of, so it will take forever to do all this.
But yeah, the war is hard on everybody. I don't know. There is no reason why. It's just satanic. There is no explanation to this war, actually. It's bad for Russia, too. They're suffering, too. Not as bad as Ukrainians yet, but I think it's coming to them, too. They'll be suffering. Yeah, thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support, for being part of our ministry. We hope the best is yet to come. I know, we know that the best is yet to come. If not in this life, in next for sure. But I hope in this life, as long as we live, let's do what we can to spread the gospel, to bring more people to Christ. We'll be praying for you so you could do it in your life here, where you live here. And just remember what I shared with you last year, this personal relational evangelism strategy from Jesus himself. He said to his disciples, you know, first of all, pray for people and for believers and non-believers. Second, go and meet these people. Third, develop relationship with them. Fourth, serve their practical needs. Show Christ's love in your deeds. And fifth, share the gospel with your mouth. So just very easy, five fingers, pray, go, develop, serve, and share the gospel. And this is the basic, very easy to do. No, easy in one way, but it's hard another way. But of course, we understand that it's not our strategy, it's not our ability. God is changing people's hearts. This is the greatest miracle that we can do, only God can do. But we just need to do our part, and God will do his part. So I just drove this, we drove this morning by Home Depot store here, and we saw many cars parked by the Home Depot store. And I asked Angela, well, does it mean that these people don't go to church on Sunday morning? And somebody said, yeah, you still have some people who are not saved in your area. So you do have non-believers.
I think I'm right about this, that when they were here a year or so ago, we got their booklet, and it's in your resources on your church app. So check that and see if it's not there. If that's not that, it's something.
Yeah, I believe we did post that.
I think
we posted
it on the resource page.
The booklet that
yes.
I printed for
yeah,
you, it's in
PDF
English.
Booklet, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, this booklet, I wrote it for Ukrainian people as a way to comfort their hearts, provide spiritual, emotional support, but also it's a tool to train believers how to share the gospel. So if you read it, yeah, will probably help you to do it.
All right. Well,
yeah. Thank you for your love.
Yeah.
We will say we'll pray for just a few minutes. They need to get on their way, and I will close. And if you want to take any food with you for
right.
the road, there's
I'm
desserts
put
here.
Plates out, but I'll put some plates out for the dessert.
Feel free to y'all let them get more before anybody else grab any.
No, no,
they need to get on the road.
We need to fast.
Yeah, we're supposed to fly on Friday, but our flight got canceled. So we had to go back home with the stuff in a car, and early in the morning we left yesterday. So yesterday we drove 14 hours and today 2.5 more. And I have to come back.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
But for this kind of work, you know, I am willing to drive through the storm because this spreading the gospel is very important for us. So. And when we train others, it means our effort multiplies. There is a piece of us in each person who have been trained or motivated. And by the way, before you pray, maybe this is the last thing I want to share with you. There are different, you as a Christian, we can be in a different stages of our maturity life. One stage is when we just ignore our Great Commission and say, okay, Jesus said make disciples, but nobody else is doing, why should I do? Just live like this, just go on with life. Another level of Christian, you can take it seriously. Yeah, Jesus said it, this is his command, I understand it. I tried, it doesn't work, so I'm frustrated, I feel ashamed, but nothing I can do, I just quit, I don't do it. There is a third level where you can take it seriously, and even you fail, you have some pain, but you continue to do as much as you can, you learn, you get training, and you do it yourself, and you become successful and bring people to Christ. But there is a fourth level, which is even more maturity. This is where you not just you yourself do, and not just you yourself are successful in it, but you also help others to become successful. You multiply, you train others, you become a parent to somebody else, spiritually speaking. So I want you to examine your life where you are in this spectrum and strive to become most mature person who help others also to reach people for Christ. It's possible. Everybody can do it. So,
how long is the training, this instruction that you have?
Yeah, you see, the training, I have like 15 lessons so far, but it doesn't matter. The thing is, you can take 5 or 10 or 15. The goal is to get some training, but also the goal is to have a friend in mission, to have somebody who you would, the goal is to have to be always in this process. It's not like a class where you take it, you finish it, you get a diploma and done. No, you're never done with it. Because that's why you always need friend in mission. You always need somebody beside who would encourage you and who would be training you, supporting you. And be accountable to, but it means we always need to be in training because, like me, I finished seminary, but I'm so glad I went through training focused on evangelism, personal evangelism, and I continue to train myself. I continue to read books. I continue to watch apologetic videos of people who are smarter than me who answer these difficult questions. So you continue, but. My training or my program, so far I have 15 lessons, but usually I meet once a week with people, sometimes once in 2 weeks and sometimes once a month. So it depends what pace people are choosing. You can go faster, you can go slower. But the key here is not, I don't really give much new knowledge to people. Most of what I say in my lessons, people already know. But the key here to have this combination, you need encouragement, motivation, you need accountability, you need training, and you need support. So you need all of these four in your life to be productive and to be successful in this. And so I want to have all of this in my life all the time. So, but it's a good question. Many times people ask me, no, because usually when you take a training, you want to know when it's finished. I don't want to be it forever. Yeah, you're right. Training, you can take breaks from training, but the main thing, every time, every morning we wake up, let's have this prayer, Lord, help me to do something to bring people to Christ. You know, who it will be today? Let me. Because like every day we can't in touch with these non-Christian friends. Like even when we're driving here, I was texting with my non-Christian friend. He was texting me, and Angela was, recommended one of her non-Christian friend to another. She gave, found her a job and recommended to this person who gave her a job. But then recently she didn't show up for a job. And this person who hired her called Angela, well, this person didn't come to work. What happened? And it turned out this person, non-believer friend that she knows, got drunk. She didn't show up for a job. She's an alcoholic. So we're trying to help people, but and it's hard. Sometimes it doesn't work as we want it.
You know, that fifth level that you were just talking about.
There is a fifth level, huh?
Well, the last level.
The fourth.
The Navigator's Ministry. Uh-huh. They call that to be a disciple of disciple makers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's probably what you're referring to.
Yeah, disciple. I want to read you one note that I just received as a text message from one Chinese girl who went with me with us to Poland on a mission trip. She is still a seeker. She is not a believer, but she's from a Christian home. And she, one day in Poland, she came to me. She said, "Pastor Konstantin, I would like to talk to you and Pastor Bill." I said, "Sure, come." And she came and she shared with us her struggles with Christian faith and with her parents and stuff. And I talked to her. I gave her my booklet, also explained the gospel, did some assessment of her faith, and we prayed for her. And then I gave her my booklet, and I said that her name is Helen. I said, "I'll be praying for you." And then when we get home, this is what text message she sent me. She said, "Hi, Pastor Konstantin. I hope you're resting well and recovering from this long journey. I just wanted to thank you again for spending the time to help me and teach me about God. This trip was truly a life-changing experience for me, and it wouldn't have been this way without your help and guidance. I was just reading the booklet you gave me, and I can't help but feel warmth and greatness through your words and God's words. I'm so lucky to have met you, and I will be forever grateful for your encouragement and support." So this is why we do this ministry, this work. You want to see that God is changing somebody's life. And so it's, let's continue to do this for God's glory. Yeah.
Okay, praise you, Phil Led, and I'll close it there.
Father, thank you so much for this encouragement this evening to live lives of evangelism. And just pray you help us with that. Pray you make it a natural thing in our lives, that we would be open about what you have to offer suffering people, lost people. Pray your blessing on Konstantin and Angela, and just pray you continue to direct them. Yes. Pray you'd help them with their work, and ask, Lord, that you would give them favor with some very rich people who write very large checks. And pray you'd help them be wise in how to use the money that you would send to them. Again, Lord, we just would ask your blessing on their life and their work.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Father, if relocating is in their future, I pray you would make that very clear to them.
Yes, Lord.
That their spiritual GPS would just lead them right to the place where you would have them be, and that you would prepare the folks in that area as you prepare Konstantin and Angela. We just put that in your hands and know that your timing is what they want. And we just pray that, that your leading would just be very clear. We thank you for that.
I pray that you would show us as a church and us as individuals our part in reaching out and discipling. Do what you called us all to do. Just get it clear. So much of this we know, but we're not always applying it, so help us to be clear in the directions for us. Thank you for them. We just ask that you continue to bless them, keep them safe, and guide their path. Bless all those that they've touched in their lives. Bless the Ukrainian people, Lord. May they each one come to know you. Thank you, Jesus.
Father, also pray for the relationships that they have through Zoom and other methods. Mm-hmm. From here in the States over to Poland or wherever. We pray that even though they're just a bunch of dots that make their faces, I pray that the people that are under their instruction would feel that relationship and understand what it is to have a relationship, so that they can go out and love and speak into the lives of other people. I pray that you would use modern media, I guess, for your glory and to really encourage the people so many miles away to be able to understand what Christ did when he sat with his disciples and spoke into their hearts and into their lives and taught them one-on-one. So I just pray for that part of their ministry, Lord.
Lord, we just pray that even in the midst of this horrible situation, that your light can continue to spread and to shine both in Ukraine and throughout Europe as more Christians are moving, and that they are able to share your love with others, and that good will continue to be worked in the midst of just darkness. We pray for children to be reunited with their parents, and for children who are orphans for them to find a safe place to be sheltered and cared and loved for. And just be with those children. And just pray a miracle that they can be reunited either with their parents or in a Christian place where they can be loved and cared for. We just pray for constantly and Angela if they are working to meet the physical and spiritual needs of people around the world, really, and give them the ability to do that financially and the physical strength to do that also, and just be with them in this. And may we be inspired to follow their example, to just continue to work to make disciples.
Lord, we do thank you that in the horrors of war, the people are turning to you. They're finding hope in you where everything seems so hopeless. And this, of course, is not something new. This has happened so many times in the life of here, Lord. When you said, pray, may your kingdom come, may your will be done. You yourself, Lord, lived in a very repressive circumstances, and yet we know that your light and your life penetrate the dark places and continues to work even in very unlikely places. So I do thank you for the Ukrainians that have turned to you and that also have spread the gospel in places they have been pushed to go to out of their own country. Lord, I thank you for Constantine and Angela and their willingness to go themselves where the need was great. They could have just stayed in Florida when this war broke out and prayed from a distance and been safe from a distance, but they've chosen to go under where these refugees are seeking help, when many of them in very dire circumstances. I thank you for their willingness to go. And I pray that you would bless them, and I pray that you would lead their steps going forward, wherever it might be, however they might reach and help and heal people, that you would guide them. I pray that you would help them on their journey home tonight as they begin, after a very long and grueling couple of days, to have to get back in the car and go yet further, Lord. Pray you give them strength. Pray that you help them to stay alert. And I pray you would just fill their hearts with great joy, knowing, Lord, that that you go with them. And even in their struggles, we think of Paul singing in jail, Lord, that he wouldn't be overcome by circumstances, but kept his faith in you, and you provided, and you kept joy in his heart. And I pray they'd have great joy as they travel, that they would not grow weary in well-doing, that they would not get discouraged, but that they would just continue to delight in bringing your good news to as many people as they can, and to disciple people so that they too can bring the good news and have this ripple effect that goes on and on and on. Thank you for their willingness to come tonight and spend these few minutes with us. And thank you that that we have been a part of their ministry and can continue to do that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, friends.
Thank you, guys.
Yes. Take some more with you if you want. There's dessert there.
No, what is that?
Fight for freedom.
Okay. I know some organizations, I don't know, that are sort of big umbrellas over some of these other Ukrainians, but I'm going to look that up and see if I can do it.
Yeah, they're supposed to send us links to their website.
We just talked to them and they asked for, you know, our help too, because they're going to work with our church in Ukraine, so we're going to help them to spread
Ukrainian. Yeah, I know a lot of Ukrainians work
well. Can you turn it off?
Yeah, it does.